And now it's time for the Talk of the Nation opinion page. Last April, William Frawley was president of the University of Mary Washington in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Then, in the space of 26 hours, he was arrested twice on charges of driving under the influence. As he soon learned, a scandal involving a university president made headlines as far away as Los Angeles. In the end, he lost his job, his reputation, and possibly his career. In an op-ed last week in the Washington Post entitled, "I Needed Help, Not Ostracism," he explained what happened, criticized both his dismissal and the public humiliation, and discussed lessons that he's learned, both about himself and about the way people react when someone in the public eye suffers, as he put it, a calamitous breakdown. We'll talk with William Frawley in just a moment. Of course, you're welcome to join us. Besides penalties imposed by the criminal justice system, should there be additional consequences? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. And William Frawley now works as a language and higher education consultant. He's with us here in Studio 3A. Thanks very much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
And let's begin with what happened.
Well, I went over this in the Post, but really what happened is in the space of 26 hours after having been at Mary Washington for 10 months, a number of factors came together in a kind of a perfect storm. I hate to use that phrase. It seems a little hackneyed, but... really 45 years of undiagnosed depression that in concert with workaholism to overcome that, and alcohol self-medication to calm myself down, plus some other medical factors came together in that span. And really, I had a very disastrous 26 hours. Let me say, first of all, that I'm responsible for all those acts. I'm not trying to push them off. I think people have sometimes not heard how many times I've taken responsibility, but I think it's important to understand the larger context in which those occur in order that we really do what's needed to be done here, which is to move to the higher ground and learn what we can learn from all of these things.
And you did not dispute the charges against you?
Absolutely not. Yeah.
And while you're not exactly a celebrity, you were a public figure, at least in Fredericksburg and the surrounding area, and the story then traveled quickly. You were compared to Michael Vick, even to Sung Hui Cho, the man who opened fire at Virginia Tech.
Correct. And in recent emails, compared to O.J. Simpson, but also compared to Larry Craig.
The senator from Idaho.
Correct. Complete with, I believe, some questionable discourse around that. These kinds of things reflect people's anger, people's upset, but I think they reflect, I'll say, a failure to take the first lesson of this, which is to open some space for rational discourse and thought prior to action. It's important in these cases, when there are calamities, that we sit back and ask what happened and why. If this is out of character, that presumes a character to be out of. And it's important not to let your anger take over. And I think with that, the whole situation could have turned out much more differently. Much differently. I simply believe that I should have been allowed the time to explain myself, to resign. And to have me and the institution of the town move on in better terms.
As the newly appointed president, as you say, just 10 months into your tenure there, would you understand that people at the university thought that you had embarrassed the institution?
Absolutely, and I said it right from the beginning, and I apologize for that. I apologize, in fact, to every member of the board directly when I met with them. On the other hand, a complicated situation like this needs time to be understood. Incidentally, explanations are not excuses, and all I wanted was time to explain and understand myself what happened, and I think that's very important.
Instead, very quickly, you were being asked to explain yourself in front of university committees and that sort of thing.
Well, I actually volunteered to go down to see the board to explain to them what I knew, but I don't think the whole story worked out very well. As I said, I don't think I told the story well, but I don't think they listened very well. The issue here really is you can't know the causes and consequences of something like this until you go through it. I didn't know about my depression. I thought everybody's inner life was like mine. Imagine that. These things need time to come out. Look, why didn't I talk right away? I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. I needed dignity. I needed to find out what was going on. Do I really need to say those things? My wife, of course, became a lightning rod soothsayer and doubtful predictor of events, and so my family stepped up to the plate. But again, I'm saying that explanation is not excuses, but an explanation helps us understand and get us to those lessons that we need so that we all can move on more positively.
On the Talk of the Nation opinion page, we're talking with William Frawley. His op-ed in the Washington Post a week ago Sunday, "I Needed Help, Not Ostracism," and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get a caller involved in the conversation. Mitchell is calling. Mitchell with us from Austin, Texas.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm a physician, and I just find it just very difficult to understand why we take situations like this, in particular drunk driving and or alcoholism. Depression is an illness. We don't fire people when they contract diabetes or cancer, and certainly your guest needed assistance for him to have been treated the way he was, to lose his position and possibly his career. I think the penalty far outweighed the incident, and we need to take steps to preclude incidents from like that happening as often as they do, but I think they went way too far in their judgment.
Just to take up the devil's advocacy here for a moment, he wasn't fired for alcoholism. He was fired for driving under the influence and showing very bad judgment. And he's admitted it himself, just being very lucky that he was the only person injured in these incidents.
Well, I know that people who are involved in drunk driving incidents are acting in a manner that is normally totally unlike the manner in which they conduct their daily lives. And when an incident like this occurs, as he stated, everything came together and it was the perfect storm, that isn't something that happens every day. He wasn't drunk driving to and from school, and he wasn't drunk driving on all his time off. This was a specific incident based on a number of symptoms that he had, and unfortunately it was bad judgment, but how do you equate that judgment with the manner in which he conducted his daily life at the university?
Okay, Mitchell, thanks very much for the call. William Frawley, I wondered if you had a response to that. You were nodding in agreement with a lot of what...
Well, I'm also nodding in agreement with you. I think you both are right, and all of these things need to be understood fully to make this happen. Again, I'm not excusing my behavior, and I take responsibility, and I did make some bad judgments, and I think I needed to move on to a different position. The important thing is how we handle ourselves in the aftermath, understanding what the causes are and what the consequences should be. You know, the workaholism, depression, workaholism, alcohol self-medication cycle is very well known. NIMH has a number of studies about it. AMA has that. And it's particularly apparent among men. It's the kind of thing that male executives, holding constant that there are more male executives than female executives, happens. And this needs to be dealt with in that way. 10% of the workforce suffers depression. It causes a $40 billion loss every year. But we've found out that if we treat depression and the consequences and associations with that, such as workaholism and alcoholism, you can actually increase productivity greater than the cost of doing that. It's a good business move, as CNN once reported. So really what we're hearing here is, do we want to take events, as Jeff Rosen said in The Unwanted Gaze, public events of public figures as indications of character, or are they public events?
Let's get another caller in. This is Jerry. Jerry with us from Brentwood, Tennessee.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air, Jerry.
Yes. Well, I'm a physician also, as one of your former callers, and I was a medical director of a large university here in this area. Became addicted to drugs, I was arrested. I pulled over at a school, thinking it was a mall, to tell you the truth, and was just didn't know what was going on, and I was arrested. The publicity and the nightmare that followed that destroyed me for the next 5 years. There were articles in the school paper. Of course, a lot of the kids that knew me were very supportive. But then there was this nightmare investigation about how the school had possibly hired someone like me, it really killed me and my family.
Just quickly, we just have very little time left. 5 years later, is there a light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, it turned out I took the drugs because I was having so much pain. It turned out I had cancer, so now I've got that. But sure, there's a light. You know, there are people that are supportive and understand this is a disease. And when the other says it's not an excuse, but again, there are circumstances. And I still had a lot to offer that university. And it's a shame that I wasn't given the opportunity to continue.
William Frawley, just very briefly, that sounds at least in part like your story.
Well, we're telling the same story with different words. It's very important to do what these callers have said, but it's also important to understand that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and help comes from many, many places, family, your old friends, and even institutions themselves.
Jerry, good luck with the cancer.
Thank you.
All right. And William Frawley, thanks very much for
Neil,
coming in
today. Neil,
thank
you very much.
William Frawley, former president of the University of Mary Washington in Fredericksburg, Virginia. You can read his op-ed at a link at our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News in Washington.